Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. This is the 12 Songs for 12 Friends Breakdown, Part 5. Man, today is going to be kind of a difficult episode for me. I mean, I've developed this pattern over the past few weeks of doing this series where it's basically come down to two tracks per episode. I mean, last week was about 90% one song, Where Will We Go From Here, and about 10% Great Big Light, because, you know, the difference in importance to me and relevance to my life now are so different between those two songs. But the problem about today's episode is that we sit betwixt two of the most important songs. I mean, again, the only song that isn't so important or relevant to me now is Great Big Light. So every song really has a lot of weight and importance to it for me. I'm just saying that today's episode is kind of like trying to talk about Where Will We Go From Here twice. So you know what I'll do is I will promise you the time. I will promise you an appropriate amount of time spent trying to get both of these done in one episode. I can't promise I can do that. Maybe I will after I get into it. So maybe I should just jump into it. But the thing is about this is that it's two songs that mean so much to me, because it's about two people that mean so much to me. It's a very difficult thing to try and put into words in an hour. You know what I mean? Trying to collect your thoughts and put together an entire, I don't know, relationship with somebody into a easy listening, you know, audio book or, you know, podcast for driving and relaxed listening is not so easy. But somehow we've managed to do it so far, so maybe I just have to troop through and stop building up the pressure, otherwise I will crush under the mighty weight of it. Let's kick things right off. So last week we finished up tracks 10 and 11, Where Will We Go From Here and Great Big Light. So we're on to number 12 today. Let me see here. I believe it's one of the most streamed songs on the whole album. The most streamed is James by far. Then probably after that, then it's Count On Me. Then I believe Most Famous Surprise, yes. So it's the, the fifth most streamed song. And then everything else falls much shorter below that number line, which sucks. But I am happy that it's, I'm happy that there is a top five to be had. I'm glad that not everything is like, oh, they all sit at zero streams, so how could you have a top five? At least there are some songs that streamed more than others, so, you know, I can be happy for that. So the song number 12 is Eye to Eye. This song was is written for and about my dear friend Vivi del Rio del Castillo. Violeta del Rio del Castillo. Vivi, or as I call her, The Beef. She is one of my best friends. I met her at the University of New Orleans. We met in one of the piano rooms of the music and film building at the campus. I think it was 2012, 2013. I remember I was sitting on a bench on the ground floor. I don't know if I was writing down an idea or just having a lunch by myself or something, maybe listening to music or watching a video on my laptop. I remember, like, there obviously was social media. There was Facebook and stuff back then, but I wasn't so heavily consistently invested in, like, making a presence on social media. So I don't think I was there, like, on Instagram or something, but who knows? Maybe that's wrong. But anyway, I was there chilling and she walked in. And I remember seeing her for the very first time. This will sound awfully romantic, but I remember seeing her for the very first time. Tall, slender, brunette, beautiful, you know, independent, has this crazy confidence in her walk. She was in her own headspace, you know, like a horse blinders, like with horse blinders on, like couldn't see anything left or right of her, just knew, okay, to this door, to the right, is the stairs, up two floors, there's the piano room. And I don't know if I saw that she had sheet music with her or not, but somehow I knew that she was perhaps going that direction. And you see a lot of different people in that building. You have all of the film and music people in the same group. So, you know, there's a lot of mixing going on naturally, which was great. That was like the best thing, was that we were all in the same building. And yeah, so I remember she walked in, and I mean, just to be completely transparent, the first like appearance of her, I was really taken aback. I thought, this is a very like beautiful person. And I saw that she was a musician, and I just kind of wanted to know who this person was. I didn't have any sort of initial instinct of like, oh, I'm going to ask this chick out on a date. I think I had seen her around before, but I didn't really know her. And then I saw her and was like, oh my God. She has this aura. She has this magic about her, this powerful, exciting energy. And she's just cringing right now. If she's listening to this, she's probably rolling her eyes until they scratch the ceiling, because she hates to be described like this, probably. But yeah, she just has this magical, powerful energy about her that's really captivating and addictive. You know, I have addictive behavior. And when you get some sort of like friend like that in your life, this aura in your life, you just eat it up. You just can't get enough of it. So I'm very starved for that energy these days. So I went up to the second floor, and I stopped by the camera room. There was an equipment room, obviously, in the film building, and it was on this floor. And I stopped and asked the guys if they saw, like, did you see like a tall, pretty brunette woman walking by with like some sheet music or something? And they said, yeah, I think like maybe she went this way towards the piano rooms. Excuse me, sorry, that's gross. And then I just kind of like looked into some of the rooms, because some of the practice rooms, you know, people would shut the door and do their own thing in this little windowless box, which felt so depressing to me. But she left the door open, of course, because she's Vivi. You know what I mean? She's Vivi. Come on. And she opened the door. She had the door open, and I saw her. And that's the first introduction we had. I was like, hey, are you Vivi? And she was like, oh, hi, yeah. I was like, I'm Jordan. And we met, and I don't know if we got phone numbers exchanged there, or if we made an arrangement to meet like at some other point or something. But you know, at this point in time, I had no plan or goal or intention of like where this encounter would go, other than I really needed to meet this person. Like, what an like captivating person this is, just by the way she walks into a room. Like, whoa, who is this? And then yeah, It spawned one of the greatest friendships, most important friendships of my life. And that's what we're going to talk about now. So this song, you know, ironically, the thing about this song is that it sparked a little bit of a controversy between Vivi and I, because I think maybe this is a good chance to finally break things down, but I don't think she ever really appreciated the lyrics. And, you know, as time goes by, I can sympathize more and more with that. I think I could have made it more of a song of how much I absolutely fucking adore her. And by the way, if you're just now listening to this podcast for the first time because of this series, we've had Vivi on the show as a guest before, I think almost 2 years ago. So it is time to do an update episode with her. But you can go back to one of the first, I think she's in like the first 10 or at least the first 20 guests that we had on the show. She's pretty early on. I think the episode is called Volcanoes, Guns, and Something Else, but it has her name in the title. So go listen to that for sure if you haven't heard her interview. She's got a really exciting past. So I don't think she ever really appreciated, or not appreciated, because I don't need appreciation out of anybody for these things. It's so personal, you know. But I don't think she understood how much love is actually behind the lyrics of this song. Although, like I said, as time goes by, I can sympathize more and more and more with how she interpreted this the way that she did. I mean, she's a person, and these words aren't necessarily like, I love you, I miss you, you're incredible. You know what I mean? Like, some other songs on this album are really that. And I've talked about these songs so far, and, you know, similar to the Bruno song, where it starts off a little, not tongue-in-cheek, but with a little bit of a bite. You know, Bruno's Count On Me starts off with, like, you know how to hide oh, a nice fancy camera you stand behind. It's not the sweetest lyric, but it goes into, you know, you carried me on your back and things like that. Because it was about how that friendship started so disassociated. You know, it was like we liked each other, but he didn't talk. He wasn't vulnerable with me. And I kind of really worked that out of him. And then it blossomed into this amazing friendship. And with Vivi, she was always very open. And the thing about this song, like the way that it works, the purpose of this song, and the way that I always describe it when I play it live, because it is one of my, if not my favorite song to perform live, still to this day, just the way, the melody and the way it rolls, I love playing it. I love playing it. And I don't know, for me, it's my closest like Jeff Tweedy song, if that's fair to say. It's like my closest Wilco song. So I really enjoy playing it. And I love singing it with harmonies and, even just alone. I really like playing it. And whenever I perform it, I always introduce it in this way of that the song is about a real friendship, a real friendship. What do you do when you're surrounded by your best friends all the time? Well, if you really love each other and you really know each other, you give each other shit. And not in like this mean way, not in a mean way. You know, we were never facetious or vicious or anything like that, but it's just that you're able to complain in a way about things that make you laugh about the other person. Does that make sense? To say, oh, you're always late. Ugh, classic Vivi. Or, you know, like a thing about Vivi that one of our longest running inside jokes is that we say that like Vivi has to be somewhere at 7 p.m. and so at 6:58 she's just gonna take a quick shower. You know what I mean? That was always like, I'd say, okay, I'm on the way to your house to pick you up. I'll be there in like 5 minutes and then we gotta go. We're gonna be late for the gig. Okay, Jojo, I'm just gonna take a quick shower. You know, it's like, no, don't do that. Don't do that. You showered yesterday. You don't have to shower right now, today. Of course, she always did. And that's why we were often late. And that's what's so funny about her is like, I adore that. She just wanted to smell nice and feel good, feel fresh. You know, I don't judge her for that. But that was part of the gimmick, the thing was like, I was waiting for her in my car so many times. Now, did I ever harbor anything serious? No. Sometimes I was a little extra stressed. Come on, I'm Jordan. I get stressed and sometimes I'm a little jerk, but like I never really like held that over anybody. But that's the thing. That's why the first line of this song is, I've been waiting around here for a long time and I know I'll keep waiting on. You just disregard my rolling eyes. Again, this is another one of those songs that until the chorus doesn't really have much of a rhyme structure. This is one of those rare ones snuck in there where there's not much of a rhyme pattern going on. Like as opposed to the song I talked about on the last episode, Where Will We Go From Here, has a very, very clean, structured, purposeful rhyme structure. Count On Me as well has one. Most Famous Surprise, I think, is the one that doesn't. No, it has a very, very, very subtle one. Yeah, High's Cool. That was what I was talking about. High's Cool and Eye to Eye. And I want to say even Far Too Thin, but I have to check that one out when we get to it. Anyway, it's one of just like two or three songs that has no rhyming in it until the chorus, but that's not so important. The first line is, I've been waiting around here for a long time. I know that I'm going to keep waiting on, and you just disregard my rolling eyes. And that's just like this reality of what it is with a friend whose only flaw, if you can really say that, is tardiness. Come on. Now, when we were doing this in the studio, this was the very first song that we recorded off the entire album. It was the first day that all of the musicians flew in from different countries. I think Vivi and Nick and Avi all came in from the States. And we had, was that right? Was it just everyone from America? I think so, because Jake was already living here, but he's from the UK. That's what it was. Everyone was from different places, like from Spain, from the UK, from New Orleans, from California. But we had three Americans flying. Well, Vivi's American now, technically. But anyway, three people from the States flying in, and they all got in on that day. And I thought, okay, it's the evening. Maybe everyone's a little tired, a little burned out, a little jet lagged. But there was this crazy energy in the studio, this magic of like, we're here, we're getting paid. We have these songs, let's make a record, you know, this like this perfect thing that you dream about when you watch documentaries of famous bands in the mixing room, in the booth, like laying down famous iconic guitar riffs or vocals. Like you see this thing of like, let's make a record. And this was that feeling that I had always wanted since I was a kid. And it was that first day. And instead of us taking it easy, discussing the plan, structuring out some things roughly, and then just having dinner, we laid down the first song of the whole album. We did it immediately, and we did like four takes of this song. We played everything live together in the studio, and then corrected a few things after in post. Of course, I re-sang everything. We added the harmonies. I think Vivi replayed her piano because we had it in the room, but it bled over, like all the mics bled over each other, so we had to get it clean. I think she did that for every song, which kind of sucks, because she had a lot of extra work to do, but anyway, it sounded amazing in the end. So this was the very first one that we did, and from the moment that we started laying it down, I think Vivi had an issue. Maybe it's more fair to say that she felt hurt by the lyrics, but yeah, we're gonna go through all that, and there's purpose to all this. The next line is a positive one. It says, "Oh, I feel that for years we could joke around and gossip on the town. There's just so much that we can go on about." And this line, "There's just so much that we can go on about," we had that specially printed on the inside of the CD case. It's like a double flap case with a booklet. And on the inside of the case, I think it's when you do the double fold to get to the picture of me and the CD itself, that first fold is some artwork from Guy, the artist who does all my stuff so far. And it has this specific line printed off, because this is also sort of a thing to all the friends. You know, there's just so much we can all talk about. And especially with Vivi, we can really just have a, you know, quote unquote, quick chat on the phone. And it's, you know, 90 minutes have gone by because we have so much to always talk about. And we make each other laugh so much, really like an insane, wonderful amount. And I think, you know, and I'll probably just have to eventually just stop on this topic, but like, yeah, I sympathize about the more negative things, like maybe the waiting around. I can see how maybe that was taken maybe too seriously. I can sympathize with that, but I do think that I'll stick by this because it does go like sort of negative, positive, whatever. That it is about a real, like an actual true friendship, because this song is about how Vivi and I would sometimes argue, but it really only strengthened our friendship. Vivi speaks her mind. And she's very honest, and she's very brave, I have to say. I think in her relationships, if she has a problem or something she doesn't like or something that feels unfair or wrong, she sets up something usually face-to-face, if it's possible, and she talks about it because the relationship is important to her. And the fact that she does that teaches me a lesson, and it has always taught me a lesson since the beginning of our friendship, that is what you're supposed to do if that friendship means something to you. Let's talk about it. Let's not bury it or hide it or sweep it under the rug, as I always did in high school with my other friendships. Like I mentioned in these things with Cody and the other songs, there were problems, massive jealousy issues, massive insecurity issues all on me, and I never confronted Cody about this stuff, and I never said, "This is bothering me. I'm scared of this. I don't want this. Can we talk about how to move forward from this?" I just swept it all down. I just gargled it all down with, you know, whatever. I ate my feelings like an idiot all the time. And Vivi helped show me that that isn't the way that it has to be. And all these New Orleans friends, you know, really sparked something different in me when it came to how I viewed being honest with my feelings and how to talk about them. Without people like Vivi, I would definitely, I don't think, have a podcast at all to feel confident enough to say, well, even if it's just my mom listening, I'm being honest and that feels good. It's like therapy, you know? And so anyway, she is really inspirational in that way that I'm sorry that I'm kind of jumbled here, but there's so many things racing through my mind about all of our different interactions of over the years of our, you know, deep relationship that it's sometimes hard to stay on one track of thought. But that's why I said at the beginning of this episode, it's going to be hard for me to do these two songs in one episode because it's crazy. But yeah, it's really like this song, and I will stand by this, is about a really true friendship. So let's move on here. So the positive line was, I feel that for years we could joke around and gossip on the town. And we laugh so much. There's so much we can go on about. And then the first chorus comes, though we don't always see eye to eye. We don't always see eye to eye. No. This one, like this hook for me, the phrase of what to say came exactly with the melody, which is really rare for me. Usually I either have the line in mind and I force it into a different melody, or I chip away and make it into a special melody, or I have the melody first often, and then I fit the words into the pockets that I've created. And this one just came at the same time. I was playing around with these chords. I really liked I love the chords for this song. I like guitar chords where you play every single string because it's this nice warm, like full plectrum bring for the, it's very warm and full and open. And it, for me, it kind of feels like an open tuning, but it's not. It's just like a C C over G and F, whatever. I don't know. I'm not a theory guy, but it's just very open strings, very open sounding. And I love that. And it's very dreamy, I think, some parts of it. The way the chords flow, the way they return back and forth to each other. And this melody, this like, we don't, what's like, though we don't always see, I know. I don't know. Part of me thought that's a great like pop thing to do, is I can use the repetition of eye to eye to eye to eye, which is easy for people to sing along with, easy for people to remember. It's a good technique as a songwriter to put things in that are, you know, simple but true to heart, repetitive without being annoying or forced or gross. And yeah, just simple, simplified. And I knew I wanted to say, like, we don't always see anyway. And then it just trickled down in the same. And it worked. And I thought, a cool way to come out of it is into that D major, back into that F that's so dreamy, and then we can just slide right back. So the song came to me really naturally, which was not the case for every song here. Some songs were a ton of work. Like I mentioned, High School was a buttload of work for me to figure out and put together. This one just kind of, it was like Count on Me. It just came out of me like all in one session. Then we get into the next verse. Again, I think these are kind of funny. Clear your mind just a bit before you lay it down. The part won't write itself, although things happen in your favor. This one is really like almost just a lyric for musicians, because I think musicians will understand that kind of expression more than other people. Clear your mind just a bit before you lay it down. Obviously, I'm talking about laying down her parts as a member of the bands I've played with her. You know, Vivi can overthink what she plays. She can have like seven versions of a very small part in a song, which one part of that aspect of overthinking is what makes her so like fucking brilliant. is that she has such an ear for such small alterations, minor details, you know, it's crazy. But also she gets wrapped up and stuck in these cycles and she can't like choose one and go on. And so it's good to tell her to kind of like take a breath, clear your mind, just take it easy before you lay down this piece, you know. It's not going to write itself. You're going to have to pick one. You know, you can settle on this. You're going to be fine. And then just to say, although things happen in your favor, because she does have this sort of magic luck about her. She, you know, meets these incredible people with relative ease. She gets put into situations where she's like, oh, I met this person and they have these are just fake examples, but like, oh, I met this person who has like a television studio and they said we could shoot a video there for free. Or like, oh, I met this person who said that they would rent us their boat to do a live session for Tiny Desk, or, you know, I'm just making things up, but like she gets into very lucky situations that a lot of people don't get into because she's so open and social, and probably also a little bit because she's pretty and just like fun. She's very easy to talk to. And she's a good listener. So I think, you know, it's a little bit of luck. It's a lot of also just who she is as a person. She has this magnetism, but that's also what that means, is just she puts the work in. She puts a lot of work in to whatever she does all the time, but she also has this little bit of luck, you know? So even if she doesn't clear her mind enough to get something down in time, it'll end up working out. She'll get it, you know? Because, you know, sometimes it works out. And then this last verse, the second verse here, is also sort of a joke on the time we've spent together on the road. Go ahead, move in. Just spread your things all across the floor. The house is yours for the taking. And this is, in all earnesty, meant to be as a sentiment of welcome. I really mean this as an invitation for her in whatever situation we might find ourselves in. Go ahead, move in, please. Just spread your things all across the floor. The house is yours for the taking. I think upon first listening, it can probably be misunderstood as like, go at like, great, spread your stuff everywhere. I can't wait to trip over your purse. Like, you're so in the way. Make the house yours, even though it's not. But that's really not the intention or the motivation at all for that. One memory comes to mind where we did a tour in 2016. We played like, I don't know, 12 or 13 gigs in October into November of 2016. It was called the Sophomore Year Tour because I had just released this Jordan Prince Band EP, which nobody listened to, but we played a lot of cool shows, some with the full band and some with us just as a duo. And we ended up playing a couple of shows in Berlin, which was incredible. Like, what an experience to be on the road, to tour. She drove her family's van to Munich from Madrid with a friend of hers. I'm not sure if he's a relative or not, maybe a cousin or something, who he coincidentally wants to be like a long distance truck driver. So he's like, I'll drive. And he drove the whole like 22 hours or something crazy all the way to Munich. And then we used it for the whole tour. And then she drove it back. Like, what? Her parents came. I think her parents and her brother flew here on the last end of the tour and they drove it back. Just unbelievable. So, real trooper. And we stayed at this, like, sort of my friend. I guess you could say he's my friend, but we're not. It's, you know, it's different because we're like 50 years difference in age. But he's this really successful architect in Berlin. He's, you know, probably about 70-something. And his name is Carlos. And he's a genius, and he's crazy, and he's beautiful, and he's wild. he's got like a million earrings, tiny little black frame glasses, gelled back, like, pulled back, jerry curled salt and pepper hair, tall, only skin tight black t-shirt, jeans, very Steve Jobs, but like a little heavy. And he's very loud and boisterous, the kind of guy who like grabs you around the neck randomly and you think your veins are gonna pop out, but he like gives you a big kiss on the cheek and then hands you a cold beer. You know, you're like, oh, whoa, oh, thanks, Carlos. You know, but you're so welcomed. And he let us stay in his gigantic multi-million-dollar home for free. He was like, come on in. Welcome. Stay here. He made an entire house out of concrete. That's like his thing. So he made like floor, ceiling, wall, everything out of smooth concrete, the stairs, the bathroom, everything. It was wild. And we had our own bedrooms. He had the crazy weird bathtub. Like, you couldn't really shower. You had to like sit in the, I don't know. That's not the point. But we stayed in this house together, and like, we kind of made it our own house. And I think that feeling of like us sort of like living together in this house, we would like lay on the sofa together and watch a movie together. My drummer Mark joined us for a couple of shows, and like, we just like chilled there and ordered pizza and went out and played a show and then came back to the house. And it was just like, I don't know, it felt like we kind of were doing something and like living together and having sort of a jump start or like a refresh on like what we wanted to do and how we wanted to pursue music. And for me, this sort of lifestyle could have gone on forever. I could have never stopped. I would have loved to have done that forever and still be doing it. I love being on the road, and I love being on the road with Vivi. And this line just kind of reminds me of that, like us living in this house together and spreading our stuff around and getting cozy. And like, I was, you know, practicing songs in this bedroom or listening to scary story podcasts and looking over in the hallway, seeing her in her room doing her yoga first thing in the morning, and just kind of looking at each other like, oh, what's up? Good morning, you know, and getting breakfast and talking with Carlos's wife and having coffee and meeting their children. And just, I don't know, just kind of felt like home. It was really nice. And whenever she stays with me, I always want her to feel at home. I always want her to feel like this is her house. And that's what I mean when I have that lyric in there. And then it does the chorus again, though we don't always see eye to eye. But again, this chorus is just, sometimes we don't agree. But the implied part is, but we will always come through that. Sometimes we don't see eye to eye, and that's okay. Makes us stronger for it, and we love each other no matter what. That's kind of what that is supposed to imply. Now this last line, okay, I really get what she means, but also we argued about this in the studio and I kept it. The last line is, you're the loudest one, but you laugh so much it wipes away the list. Oh, my face is red. I'm dying here. Again, not much of a rhyme scheme at all. Like, nothing really rhymes in these verses. And I think what I mean when I said that, like, you're the loudest one, I don't mean that she's so loud that it's annoying and you want to cover your ears. It means that she's the most like opinionated and the most vocal about those opinions. And sometimes that can cause us to not see eye to eye, or for us to go into an argument that was unnecessary or something. Not to say that I don't start them. I've absolutely started many. But sometimes the loudest one just being like the most opinionated, the most certain of this feeling she has. Well, like, for example, we have this funny fight that we had years ago in college about who was more attractive between John Lennon and Paul McCartney, and I still cannot believe that she thinks John Lennon is more attractive than Paul McCartney. I'm talking about, just for those out there who are on her side, I'm talking about like pre-Beatles breakup Paul McCartney, okay? You've got like the Let It Be era, the Apple documentary era with the beard, you know, the Linda McCartney years, you know, before it really showed like his lack of chin and before he got the weird like Karen haircut that's all beige and gray. Like young Paul McCartney, Abbey Road Paul McCartney, Let It Be McCartney, like the really cool, good looking rock and roll Paul McCartney, okay? Rooftop concert, Apple Studios. Now, I get John Lennon has style. He's fresh. He's got attitude. He's kind of cocky. He wrote amazing songs. His voice is impeccable. There is no denying the greatness of the musician, John Lennon. But if we're just talking about straight up old attractiveness, you're still wrong, Vivi. And see what I mean? We had this fight and we were screaming in each other's faces about it, but we were laughing. And so that's what I mean. You're the loudest one. You're the most opinionated about the things your convictions are the loudest. But you laugh so much, it wipes away the list. Anything that I might have had to say to you about this conviction, anything I might have had on my mind or stacked up or ready to go at you about this stupid fight disappears because we're laughing and you make me laugh and this is all fun. And now I feel that everything's all right and this is stupid and I love you and I just want to hug you and watch reality TV or watch Curb Your Enthusiasm and sit on the floor of your tiny fairgrounds apartment and just live there. And then, yeah, the last thing we say, I say the hook again, though we don't always see eye to eye. So that's like, you know, without going too much further into the actual lyrics, that's straight up line for line what they're supposed to mean, what they're supposed to stand for. I do, let's take a quick look first. I haven't done this yet. I want to talk a little bit about the production and the structure of this song. This is, like I said, probably my favorite song to play live, and it's really one of my favorite songs, just production-wise. It was the first one that we did. We did like four takes. It just came out perfect. The energy was incredible. There's a couple of really small human mistakes, what they call like the human element in songs that make it also a little extra special. Like, we didn't quantize everything. We didn't put everything to the grid. We had a click track. We did things kind of our way, but there's a few little small mistakes that make it special and nice. And this dude, Avi, played the most, like, I think I might have said this about the song Stars on the first breakdown episode, but I think if I said it there, I might have to change it and say that this slide guitar solo for Eye to Eye is my favorite guitar solo of any song that has my name on it. I think I sang the Stars solo on that first episode, but there's something so perfectly melodic, and it tells a whole story. It's so beautiful and triumphant, and it's one of the greatest guitar solos I've ever had the pleasure of being associated with. It's crazy. But yeah, so that's what I'll say about that person. But this song came out really smooth. Everyone gave 110%. It's really amazing. I'm really happy with it. And yeah, let's check out a little bit. So it starts, we came up with this arrangement idea. Well, actually, I have to defend myself a little bit here and say I came up with this arrangement idea in the studio, in the moment, on that first night. I said, why don't we try to Jake, the bass player, why don't we start just you and me together? Because I think someone suggested that I play just me, but I wanted to have that bass line here, that doom, 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 doom. It's just really bouncy, and I liked how it bounced. So this, I mean, it's just playing off my computer, but let's check out the beginning here.
I've been waiting around here for a long time, and I know I'll keep waiting on. You just disregard my rolling eyes.
I don't understand where that came from. When I think about when I wrote the song, I didn't have any intention of this, da da, you know, this da 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 ba 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 ba. I don't know, but I like it. And then it's like the character motif of the song, this cat cat, the syncopation. I love it. And let's take a look at that solo. And that's Vivi herself. That's her harmony right there. This, I do. She had great, great harmony ideas for this song. Oh, she's like, God, I love doing harmonies with her. So dreamy. That little pocket space that he's just opened up for us. The dynamics, like the whole band fades away. You have a little kiss of things here and there. Just a little sparkle dust in the corners while this guitar comes in. Just boom, da 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 da. And it's just, oh man.
Thank you.
I mean, unbelievable. And this sounds egotistical. Maybe I shouldn't be sitting here listening to my own song on my own podcast for people, like the 8 people that know me, that listen to this, and saying like, that's incredible, it's fucking awesome. Honestly, for this, I just don't care. I think it might be my best thing that I've made. And I know a lot of people who don't really care for this song just in terms of like the melody, like maybe the vocal melody. But for me, this is like, oh, you know what this was? I know that Todd's listening to this. You know what this song was inspired from? The Autumn Defense, man. The Autumn Defense. This, oh man, let me pull that band up. I can't believe I just remembered them. This beginning of that solo. Oh yeah. Oh man, the Autumn Defense. Todd Gurley introduced me to them. Oh man, I hate the way that a Spotify organizes their albums on, there it is, Circles. Oh yeah. Was it The Sun in California? Now tell me that isn't a little similar, you know what I mean? Now Written in the Sun's great, but that's not the one. I can't believe how small this album turned out to be in terms of streams. It just seems like such a humongous part of my life. But you just never know. You never know who's going to be successful or not. It's crazy. But there's some beautiful, beautiful songs on that album. The Autumn Defense, the album is Circles. But just incredible, incredible stuff. And that definitely was the inspiration when you get to this part. Right here. That little simmering hi-hat with the acoustic and the crying slide guitar. It was inspired from the Autumn Defense. It was inspired from the Shins. James Mercer's vocal melodies are still, to me, the greatest vocal melodies that a rock band has ever written. And also inspired from Wilco. So that's like the 3 bands that comprised the inspiration for this song. And I'm really proud of it. There's so much, you know, the thing is, it's so difficult to even consider moving on from songs like this because there's just so much importance that I have in my life when I think about someone like Vivi and also with the next song. And yeah, Vivi is all over this record. She's on every single song. She sings harmonies on her own song, plays piano on everything. She plays synthesizer. She has amazing ideas. You can hear her voice on Lakeshore Drive, where she talks about how she created a melody, and I whispered to her that I love it because I always do. And you know, the last time that we spent real time together, was it? I'm trying to think. No, that's not true. The last time I saw her was with Ify and them last March. But before that, in June of 2021, I visited for like 8 days because I was having like a mental breakdown. I was so depressed being stuck in Munich and I hadn't been home in forever and I needed to see these people. And I had this talk with Vivi. We just had this real talk. Because I think the hardest part about moving abroad is missing these people so fucking much. And missing my family, of course. I'm so happy that whenever I get to see them, I wish they made at least one visit to Germany a year, because we visit America every year. I'd love to see them twice, you know, if we could reciprocate that. Or any of the friends from New Orleans, too. It's like, or anybody who these songs are about, you know? If anybody from family or from these songs visited to Germany, even just once, it would just mean, they don't even know how much it would mean to me. But I get that it's money's hard, and it's very even more easily to get stuck in one's bubble and like belief of like how things have to be. Like it's just people get wrapped up in these things of like things are just the way they are, and oh, I don't know if I could, you know, save up, or I don't know if I could get off work. And it just like I get that that's really hard to get out of. Those mindsets are very addictive in a bad way. It's very hard to break those cycles. Living here, the hardest thing is missing these people. And in June of 2021, we had a talk in this car, and we talked about how distant we felt from each other. And it was another perfect example of why this song, I think, is so true to us, because she confronted me about a problem that we are fading apart. And I immediately started crying, because I thought at first that she was about to say that she wants us to like stop communicating. Or I thought she was going to say it's time for us to move on, or that she won't always, you know, make an effort to respond to calls or texts if I try to communicate with her, because, you know. But I was wrong. She wasn't saying that. It really killed me when I thought that's what she was saying. What she was saying was that the last few times that I had corresponded with her from Germany over the pandemic was me calling her to dump my life's problems on her. Calling her crying, upset, stressed, just freaking out. And I did that multiple times. And what she was trying to say is that she has a lot of stuff she's going through too, and she felt like she can't tell me. And I'm so glad she said something, because I was like, I can't lose you. Like, I can't lose you. And the hardest, hardest, hardest thing about living here this long is that naturally, communication with your people from back home, it dwindles. That's normal. And it's my fault. I'm very grateful that I'm in a pretty consistent amount of conversation with my mom and with my family and with Cody and Todd. A lot more than I even imagined, which is so great. And I really wish that the New Orleans people... it doesn't even feel fair to say that I wish they made more effort. It's my fault. I left. And this is my, I don't want to say punishment, but it's my repercussions of my, it's the coincidences of my, no, not coincidences. It's the, sorry, it's the circumstances of my actions. And I have to live with that. I can't expect everybody to adhere to my life changes. And now it's been years, man. It's been like 7 years that I've lived away. And, you know, of course people get their own, I mean, I think it really hit me in the heart the hardest when in 2020, in November 2020, Vivi got married. And I couldn't be there. Do you know what I would have done to have been like a best man, or to have been even just like a speech giver, or even just to be like a flower girl, or just to be there at all? I really wish I could have had the chance to make an effort to be there. But I feel like it just happened, and then I got a Zoom link, and it was just, I don't know if like flights were still canceled during that time, if no one could fly, maybe that was the case, but that was so hard for me. But that's, again, that's the circumstances of my actions. I moved. I wasn't there, and she has to live her life, and it's the same with everybody that I miss. It's, you know, everyone has their own lives. And I can't call or text everybody every day. I have my own stuff going on. But I don't think anybody understands just how much I deeply, painfully miss them. Like with everything that I have in my heart, with every cell of my body, I miss them so much. What I would do to have a little transporter box or a magic phone booth or something that allows me to see any of these people from this record at any time for a Friday night beer or for a Tuesday afternoon matinee or to just go grocery shopping and just talk about what's going on in our lives or to talk about bullshit, to talk about nothing, to just joke around or to comfortably in silence just sit next to each other. They don't know what I would do for that. But I can't hold it against any of them that I don't get the amount of communication that I would kill for because it's my fault for moving. And I have to accept that. And my saving grace is that we go to America like 6 weeks a year right now. And it's just still not enough. I don't know. I need some of these people to visit, but I can't force it. I just can't force it. Oh man, I'm sorry that I went down this path. Oh my God, it's almost been an hour and I knew I wasn't going to get both in. Guys, I'm sorry. I think there's going to have to be like 7 parts of this series. I knew I wasn't going to get to Todd's song on the same episode as Vivi's song. The both of them are too much to talk about. It's like with Cody's song, it's too much to talk about. But man, you know, when I thought she was saying that she didn't want to like stay in touch anymore because I've been gone and the communication has been so slim or whatever, I wanted to die. Okay. But that's not the case and everything's fine. What I wanted to say was if you like Vivi's sound on this record, if you like the piano and you like her harmonies, which who wouldn't? You can also check out Big Lemoi. It's Biglemoi. The first EP, the image is a tree growing out of a guy's chest. We did that whole EP together. If you go to Spotify, Jordan Prince Band as the artist name. I stupidly released this EP under a different artist's name and not under Jordan Prince, which everything else is under. It's so stupid. But Jordan Prince Band, there's an EP on there. I can't vouch for the vocals. I do not stand by the vocals, but there's a couple of nice songs on there. Let me see. I had a little list here of everything. A little short story. On that 2016 tour, we played a concert in a movie theater and we were driving one of the other artists who performed. Her name was Sobe. To a hostel where all the artists were sleeping, like a big house that had a bunch of different rooms and sofas. And we were driving back in her van in this really, for me, sort of painful, intense Muzak jazz came on the radio, like really, really heavy, intense, sort of, in my opinion, obnoxious free jazz thing. And I, you know, maybe too aggressively was like, oh, turn this junk off or something like that. And she exploded on me. And I had just recently fallen in love with the first Andy Schauf album and was listening to it all the time on the tour. Like she would sleep in the passenger seat and I would drive and listen to this album like on repeat. And she started using that against me and was like, we know fucking Andy Schauf only plays, you know, 2 chords and whatever. And I was like, yeah, but he's a great songwriter and it doesn't matter how many chords you play. And we were just like, laughing, but screaming. And it was the stupidest argument I have ever had with anybody ever. And we laugh about it still because it's so stupid. We got so angry. I don't know if we just needed to get some, I think maybe it was just we'd been on the road too much, too long with each other, and we just needed to fight. You know, Vivi sometimes is like that too. She's a red-blooded Spaniard, and sometimes she's just got to fight. And I'm there. I'll glove up too, baby. I love it. I love it. Because in the end, we're just stronger for it. Yeah, and let's see. I'll never forget the release concert for this album was in May of 2018. We had released everything, and Vivi's whole family was at the concert. We played the Miller Club in Munich, probably one of my favorite venues. Fits about 150 people or so. And we didn't fill it out all the way. We didn't sell it out, but we had a lot of people there, and we, more than I thought, for the release concert. And we had, I think Cosma Joy opened up the show. No, Matt Austin. I think Matt Austin opened up for me, which was great. What a great honor. He was the first guest we had on the podcast. I want to get him back. But anyway, we played this show, and as a huge surprise to me and to Vivi both, we played the song James. We played pretty much this whole album in order, and we played the song James, and like, what do you know? Almost the whole audience sang along to it, and it was this magical moment. And you know what was funny is I was most proud that Vivi could be there to experience that more than anybody else who was in that room. And I had people of all shapes and sizes, like shapes and sizes of importance to me in my heart, but like, I just remember looking over at Vivi while an audience sang along to my words and her harmonies and thought, I'm so glad that Vivi gets to be on stage for this. I'm so glad she gets to see this and be a part of this. Because I want her to feel successful, and I want her to actually be successful, not just feel it, but I want to be successful with her. And I want us to be at the top of the chart making great things together. I never want that to end. So, yeah, she's incredible, and I love her. Yeah, I think that's pretty much everything I had on the list for today without rambling on too much. I want to apologize for that really intense, sad dip that I went into a few minutes ago, but, you know, it's not a podcast if a white boy doesn't get emotional. Vivi, if you listened to this, I love you with all my heart. I miss you every day. And please just call me sometime, text me sometime, anything. I'm always so happy to see your name pop up on my phone for any reason at all, anytime. Guys, Todd, if you heard this one, I'm sorry I didn't get to your song today. I wanted to do two, but don't worry, you are getting your due next week, my friend. In general, everybody, if you enjoyed this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts, give us a review or a rating or a comment. It really helps the algorithm push this show to new listeners. All you have to do is like it or share it or comment it or something, or wherever you listen to this show, if it's on Spotify, just follow our channels. In the show notes, we have our links to all of our social media, our TikTok, our Instagram, our YouTube. Please, you know, if you want to go see more of us there, we have a lot of content up on the TikTok especially. Give us a follow just tell a friend. Just whisper to a friend, hey, have you heard Artsy Fartsy Immigrants? If you know anybody who might like any of these songs, if you have anyone, a distant cousin, a friend who's like, I like that Jordan Prince fella. Didn't he write a song about you? Anything like that. Just say, hey, here's the series where he's breaking down that album. Isn't that cool? Just any way that you can help spread the show, it really means a lot to me. I want to grow this Artsy Fartsy family, and I want to do it organically. I want to do it through people who care and people who listen and people like you. So please share the show. Thank you so much for listening. I love you guys so much. Hope this wasn't too heavy-handed, but you know, sometimes you just got to do what comes naturally. Thanks for listening, and we'll do part six. Ugh. We'll do part six next week. I don't know if I'll get through everything in one more part because, like I said, it's a big song next week too, but let's just keep this train rolling. I've really enjoyed this series so far. And if you have enjoyed it too, let me know in one of the ways that I've mentioned. Thanks so much for listening, and we will be back next week. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. And it's all over.
Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von John Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.